The Treasurer, Josh Frydenberg, is under pressure to explain whether he attempted to intervene in a decision affecting a company part-owned by his colleague, Energy Minister Angus Taylor. The Guardian is reporting that in 2017, Angus Taylor met with then-Environment Minister Josh Frydenberg after his company was approached over illegally clearing endangered native grass. Documents obtained by the paper suggest Mr. Frydenberg then sought advice on whether he could weaken the grasslands protection. Anne Davies is a senior investigative journalist with The Guardian, and she's done most of the reporting around this. Anne, thank you so much for your time.
Hi, Patricia. Well, I should say it's been me and Lisa Cox, my colleague, who's been, we've been hammering away at this story for about a year, I suppose.
Actually, it speaks volumes about your character that you wanted to give your colleague credit, absolutely. So walk me through... it's a very technical story, but you've done a good job trying to explain it. If you can help us on the radio understand the substance of your story.
Okay, so this is about some land clearing that took place in late 2016. And an investigation was taken against a company called Jamland. Now, Jamland had a number of shareholders. Among them are Angus Taylor, the energy minister, via a company, another company, and his brother Richard, who is also a director of the company. So they were being investigated. And then in March, there was a meeting that was held, I think, down in Bombala. Compliance officers said, look, we've got a problem here. The next day, Angus Taylor went to the Environment Minister, then Josh Frydenberg, and said, look, from his version of events is he asked for a briefing on how the legislation operates. Now, there's quite a long chain of bureaucratic correspondence, which indicates that the bureaucrats were absolutely aware there was a compliance action that potentially involved the Taylor family. And they were trying very hard to meet the requirements of the minister's office to brief Angus Taylor about the legislation, but they were also very worried about exposing the compliance action to any problems.
So in April, Angus Taylor told Senate Estimates he hadn't made any representations to the department or the government over this issue.
Well, he was very specific. He said he hadn't made any representations about the investigations. And we all thought, oh, well, we must be wrong. But then this FOI came back, and what it shows is he was actually immediately asking about the legislation. And at one stage, the minister's office suggests that the compliance officer should go to the meeting with Angus Taylor. Now, the department assures us that didn't happen, that the compliance officer didn't attend the meeting. But senior bureaucrats were attending meetings with Angus Taylor to explain legislation that affected not just Jamland, but a number of other properties that are owned by the Taylor family. They are a very big farming family down in the Monaro Plains. Now, when we asked Angus Taylor about it, he said, I was doing it because of my constituents in Hume, which is a seat to the north of Canberra, not to the south of Canberra. And it's true, there are some Monaro grasslands in his seat, but it's really a much bigger issue for the Monaro farmers.
Josh Frydenberg's office approached the department to determine whether the grasslands protections could be weakened. Go through with me what they asked for and what they were told.
Okay, so the grasslands have been upgraded to critically endangered in 2016 by Greg Hunt, who was the minister then. And it had been through a scientific process. The committee had said, look, there's only 5% of these grasses left. They're critically endangered. They should have the higher protection. And then there was some consultation. Now, the Taylors say that consultation was completely inadequate and that when the land clearing took place, they had no idea that they had to go and get approval from the federal authorities. So it's quite a complex story. But then Josh Frydenberg started asking, well, can I go back and change this? And will I have to go through the threatened species committee again, scientific committee, and his department pushed back very hard and said, well, actually, you can't do this without scientific advice. You can't change it, you can't change the conditions, and you can't make a change and not publish it. They said, look, we always publish these things. So there were three or four questions asked, and finally they asked, would it be open to legal challenge? And the answer was, yes, it would, because we did public consultation on the 2016 changes. You can't just turn around and change it now without talking to people.
And so the situation does appear to have set off alarm bells then within the department.
I think it's really clear from the FOI documents, and we've published quite a lot of them online, that the department was aware this was a problem. By the time the minister's office was asking about changes, it had been escalated to secretary level, so he's been copied in on all the emails. So I think there's no doubt they were worried about what was going on. Now, there has been a sort of, and I should say, Josh Frydenberg did not change the protections. He didn't water them down. What's happened since is that the government has ordered an inquiry into the effect of the Environmental Protection and Biodiversity Conservation Act and its interaction with agriculture. And one of the submitters to that, of course, has been the Taylor family via Richard Taylor.
Is this potentially more serious than a breach of ministerial code of conduct? How can we establish that?
Well, I don't really think we can do much more than we've done in terms of exposing it. It's absolutely clear that it raises some pretty serious issues under the ministerial code of conduct, because ministers are required to not use their public office for private purposes. Now, Angus Taylor says he was doing this for the constituents of Hume, but it's also very clear that a change in the law would have had major impacts for the Taylor family.
You've approached these two men. How have they responded?
Well, we got a very generic statement from Josh Frydenberg, who I believe is overseas, and he didn't address the detail of what we asked. Minister Taylor is absolutely adamant that he only asked about the policy. He wanted to understand how the policy worked, that he didn't raise the compliance action against the company he's involved with, and he said he did it for the people of Hume. So I guess it's really up to the Prime Minister to ask questions now about what were the motivations of his ministers.
Labor's Terry Butler is calling for an urgent investigation, as are the Greens. Is it a safe bet that this is going to be, you know, pursued when Parliament returns?
Well, I think it will be. Look, you know, ministers are under such heavy obligations to act in the public interest. And when there is something that potentially causes a conflict of interest, they should either be steering clear of it or they should be declaring it. And so that's where I think, you know, the investigation is going to turn.
Thank you so much for joining us, Anne.
Okay. See you, Patricia.
That's Anne Davies. She's a senior investigative reporter with The Guardian, who's been reporting on this story.